We do rock, paper, scissors to see who's comes up first. So I lost. No, I won. I won. I get to go first and steal all the revelation, Aaron. I'll leave you some. All right. What are your names?
Lynn.
Rick.
Lynn and Rick. Father, we bless this couple. We thank you for them. You're a skilled couple. Well-informed, well-educated, in tune, aware of what's going on in the world. You scan the news, but you're not duped by it. You just kind of know what's going on. You're kind of like the ancient sons of Issachar. They understood the times. There's something prophetic about you that understands the times. There's something that's a balanced view of what God is doing. God's going to use you to help counter the semblances of imbalance that particularly prophetic people get caught up in. Sensationalism, a change of seasons, an apocalyptic atmosphere, all these things make people go a little squirrely in the prophetic. They kind of go off on a limb. You're going to help bring balance and stability to the perspectives of what God is doing in the earth so that people don't lose the grandeur of the Great Commission. Sometimes you just people get off on tangents and they get off on tributaries and they forget. I almost want to say, hey, when's the last time you shared Christ with somebody? You're off in Looney Tune land, out of the lunatic fringe out there floating around, and let's come back down to earth and win people to Christ. There's something strategic about the two of you when it comes to evangelism. I think, brother, you have a heart to equip. There's a teaching capacity in you. There's a very solid, fundamental running of the gospel in you. It's your anchor. You love it. You love the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And you're really good at bringing people back to the center. Let's talk about the gospel. Where's the gospel taking you? What's the gospel doing in your life? And how's God going to use the gospel in your life to touch someone else? And I see you it's mildly equipping saints for the work of ministry and serving. Sister, you have a strong serving gift. You've been serving since you were a kid. You were serving as a child. You were serving as a teenager. You just serving is such an easy gear for you to run in. You show up as guests at people's house, and by the time you leave, you're doing the dishes and tidying up the kitchen. You can't help it. That's just you, and it's okay because that's how God made you. So there's an analytical capacity you have, brother. I see the word technology over both of you. Both of you are pretty savvy when it comes to technology. Brother, are you retired? She already laughed, Sarah. Sarah just laughed. Partially. I just feel like there's something kind of professorial about you in this teaching thing and this ability there's still an edge you have in the world of technology, almost like, I don't know if it's engineering or something like that, you just have a mind that can see systems and forms and columns and things, and there's just this ability you have to analyze and bring things into perspective. And God's going to use the two of you. So I'm going to, again, announce another small group in this church. If you're not part of one, start one. Everybody come to their small group, okay? Sign up and then cut them off. Make it hard for them to get in your small group. Tease them into it and then just cut them off and say, not this semester, next semester. And you're going to have a very attractive small group. Because you're going to be like the sons of Israel. You're going to understand the times. You're going to talk about the times, but not get loony. You're going to talk about how to apply the gospel to everyday life. But more than that, you're going to pray for people. You guys are a powerful prayer force. You learn how to pray together. You have children? Yeah. They really help your prayer life, don't they? Yeah, they do. And I assume they're mostly adults. And now your whole prayer life is centered around a new form of parenting, right? On your knees. You keep parenting on your knees, and you are parenting from your knees humbly, but crying out, and God is moving in your family. Do you have grandchildren yet? Yeah, there's some grandkids that are just sparkling. There's something about this generation that your children are producing that obviously it's like, boy, that's why they're grand, aren't they? You know, there's such a joy, and we all that have experienced that. But there's something particular about you guys having a voice into your grandchildren at an early age. And you're going to impart kingdom theology. Sister, you know all the old songs. Teach them. Teach them the old songs. The easy ones, you know. Not these complicated, you know, if some of them are so complicated. Just those easy little stanzas. And you're just going to put music into them. Brother, you're going to teach them the fundamentals in nature. You like nature, brother. You're a naturist. There's something about you and nature and God. You just get along really well. And you're going to be able to tell stories. I just see such a season of impartation to your grandchildren. And your children are going to be so grateful. And they're going to continue to get touched. How many children do you have?
Three.
Yeah. One's on the edge, kind of not out, but on the edge. They're exploring. They're being pulled a little. And you're not troubled, but you're concerned. And God says, cast all your cares upon me. Yep. Because you have prayed, you have dedicated them, you've done all the right things. There's nothing you've done wrong. They're just a little bit of a wild stallion. There's a little bit of wildness in one of them that just wants to explore and color outside the lines. And they're just checking things out. And then they're going to come back and say, center point is still the gospel. You taught them well, and they're never going to stray, says the Lord.
Not on. There we go. Sorry. The Lord is showing me, are trees that are about this tall still called saplings? Okay, they are. He's showing me almost an orchard of trees that have been planted, and they're perfect. They're excellent. The spacing is done well, and they're all anchored. What do you call those things? I'm not from... Where they have the cables so they grow straight? Sky? Guide wires. I'm seeing things I don't have the names for, but when you drive around up here, I started seeing all sorts of stuff I hadn't seen. I'm not from orchard country. But he was showing me that you guys are a couple of excellence. That you do things excellent, meticulous, thorough, with intentionality and follow through. You're a couple that is about quality, not quantity. And yet, because you've done things meticulous in the way you approach ministry, people, almost every facet of your life, he's enabled you to duplicate and duplicate how you approach things. But I saw a season coming for you. And your plantings were very straight. These were not trees that started to grow sideways and fall because of the weight. It was like God showed me these two have anchored and they make things that would grow crooked straight and strong. And he showed me a season coming for you when one planting demanded more of you. And he trusted you with it because he knew you wouldn't go, well, we have all these other ones. But it was of immense value. The harvest that's coming off that tree for years to come that'll outlive you is immensely valuable. And he knew that you would give it focused attention. You would give it meticulous care and honor, and you would do it excellent. Though it feels like it's going to almost narrow your focus down. Where you've been able to live at doing multiple different aspects of ministry with multiple different people. It was like a moment where he was going, this planting needs a level of care that is more demanding, more focused, but it's him. He's not taking from all the rest. It's him. It's an investment that he's put on your plate to invest in because he trusts you, that you'll do it excellent, that you'll make something that would have grown crooked and fallen by the weight of its fruit grow straight and balanced and even. and he trusts you with it. Even though it's going to take a lot of your energy and your focus, you're going to have the grace for it to do it excellent. And I bless you to that. Father God, I thank you for maturity in the kingdom that grows things straight so their branches bear fruit and they don't fall under the weight of their production. But they're able to grow in balance, produce in season. I thank you for couples that maintain excellence in the integrity of your word. They stand by it. They grow by it. They cultivate by it. I thank you for them holding up a standard, your standard, and not being casual about that. That the things of God are serious to them and they give them intentional care. And I bless them to a focused season, to an intentional focus of ministry and growth into a planting that is of immense value to you. I thank you that this is a couple you can trust that with. And I testify in the spirit of the excellence of care it will receive. And I bless them to all the grace and the endurance and the creativity to nurture it into full, stable, strong balance for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh, well, that thing's broken. Let's just throw it away and order a new one. But, bro, that's not you. I see you, a vision of you in a workshop, and there are all these parts scattered all over everywhere. And I would go, oi. Let's just throw all that away and order a new thing because it'll be pretty and it'll do more. But guys, there's a call on you about fixing things that are broken. And it's the joy of your heart. And God commends you for that and says, turn around and notice that you've also been fixing people who have been broken. And that you have a patience that God gave you that didn't give me. You got my part too. And now we understand a patience to put people back together. And this is a call on your life. And if you look inside or look back, or you're going to realize, oh, okay. This is who I am. I help put people back together. And where I might be surprised that I can't do it in a speed session. You have a patience from God to work with people and put them back together without rushing it, making a bad job, but making a hack job of it, because you've never been called to make a hack job of anything. It's a wonderful thing. I got a tube radio from 1940 that I need to get fixed. Do you know anybody that could... And I ought to ship it up to you because you could. God said, send it to you, brother. And sister, there's a call on you to speak. I see you. I had a vision of you just talking. It's a call on you about speaking the word of God. And he takes off all bars. And he says, begin to prophesy, begin to teach, write, do it all. But there are words piled up in you that need to come out. And the more words come out, the happier you're going to be and the happier everybody else is going to be because there are words coming out. And whether it's prophecy or writing or teaching, you need to get the words out. And I saw you and God said now, and just now. And if that means you talk more to people, whatever it is, you need to talk more and get the words out because they're inside of you. And any idea that you need to hold back is now gone. God says he threw that away, took that part off and threw it away. So this is a new season. The words are not new, not a single one. But there's a season now to begin to speak them, write them, tell it, whatever that is. That's not my job. Does this make sense? I'm just going to suggest that I think maybe you've got 5 titles for something already somewhere in your notes. Titles for 5 different things, and this is the time. He's going to be out in the shop fixing people or my radio, and this is the time. Okay, does this make sense? It does, doesn't it? It was good that you showed restraint when you were supposed to. But now that's really is. Need to, whatever habit is there about not speaking what you're seeing or hearing, you need to get that habit broken and be chatty. I see you walking down two rows, like well-tilled rows, rows with little stuff growing in them. And then I see the roads multiply to four. And so God's going to give you more rows to sow in. I don't know what that means exactly, but you'll know in 18 months it'll be clear what those new rows are. And so your work is not going to decrease. It seems it's going to increase. That's the way God does it, you know. You get older and you think you're good. Then all of a sudden God gives you more work. And you're going, God, what did you do? And there's something about the Outer Banks of North Carolina you need to find out about. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I'm telling you. Something about the Outer Banks of North Carolina you need to find out about, okay? Only way I know is to go there and see, but not during hurricane season. Okay. That's what I got. If you get a word from me, you need to call me up or tell me, okay? I think you do. Or will. I just think there's one you need to be willing to call me up and say, okay, I got this word. Okay? All right. God's given you both a carefulness with people. And He's going to use you to build people up. I just feel like when you leave here, part of this word is your hand's going to be encouraged and strengthened to build lives and help people. And multifaceted, not in one thing, just how do we solve this? How do we, all these parts on the bench, how do we get them all back together so everything works again? Well, it's like multi-layered stuff in different layers, and God says to take some adventure trips. Go somewhere together and take an adventure trip where you're going down and you're praying, who can we talk to? Who will come up to us? How can we have a divine encounter? And God's going to give you divine encounters, and it's supposed to be fun. But take some adventure trips where you're not going to do something, going to go shop or anything else. Just, we're going to go out and take a trip and walk down the street. Walk down the main street or whatever. And we're going to just hang around and see who's going to talk to us. Okay. Unless God says, I don't even know, this is dangerous. God's going to give you new clothes. There's some new clothes, or he's going to take you to a women's shop and give you a new something. Okay, that was a little dangerous, but there you go. Isn't this good enough? It is, but it's a good prophecy.
Father, we thank you for the revelation, encouragement, and direction. We say yes and amen. And we seal your word to them, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to stand with them and pray into what you're doing in them and through them. In Jesus' name.